How do people feel? How did people feel about what they saw? How did they feel about the incident originally? How do they feel after they saw this movie? Why don't we start with our elder in the house, Melvin Dixon of the Black Panther Party.
Yeah, yeah.
Melvin, how did you feel?
Well, I was stunned. And it's not unusual. It was unprecedented what happened. But of course, the oppression and the police harassment is not unusual. Goes on all the time, as we all know. But I thought the brother had thoughts about his situation, the circumstances that he was caught there. I think his engagement with his sister is before he was murdered. I think she told the story quite well. He got his last word with her. It was all about love and care. It was all about knowing the situation that he was in. And he was going to leave. Just that was a rare circumstance. You don't run into these circumstances every day, but as the oppression and repression come on, we'll see more, I think, more Nixons and more situations where people have to make some choices. And in that circumstance, I don't think he had too much of a choice. He wasn't going back to prison. He had to make that decision. I thought it was very well put together in the documentary.
Yeah. Well, one of our sister elders in the house, Ayo, how you feel? From West Oakland, playwright.
He's very powerful piece of work. What I appreciate about it is the obvious, that it reframes the narrative that we're fed by mainstream media that directs us to how we should understand and comprehend things. The other thing I like about it is it brings it out in the open, the cost of trampling on human beings. That there is an end. And that the reaction is possible, producing a correct and proper reaction. I found it very moving. Rhonda Little.
We also have before we just open it up, I want to hear from Uncle Bobby, who is also the uncle of Oscar Grant. How did you feel about the movie or the incident, or you know, what kind of words can you share with us?
Wow, you know, the first, it allowed me to see what I really didn't see at the time because he was so caught up in Oscar and the movie. And our love for Oscar actually blinded, the blinders on, so that we wouldn't be distracting and seeking justice for him. But at the same time, come to realize, of course, in my understanding of the system, right? I mean, the role of the police is not to protect and serve us. The role of the police is to protect the system. You know, and I've come to understand it much clearer today because during that time period, mass media came to put a spin on it. Oscar Grant, Mel Gibson is your cousin. We heard he did that in retaliation for your nephew being killed. How do you feel about that? This is what came at us as a family, right? And of course, we had other ears or mouths telling us we need to distance ourselves from the veil for the simple fact we wanted justice for Oscar. It would allow Oscar's opportunity to get justice, and yet at the same time, what happened to Oscar? Exactly the same thing that happened with them. So they try to catch, you know, what I'm doing is I'm dissecting what I just seen, because at that moment in time, I tell you, it was a blur. I remember it. Actually, I was happy about it, you know, because I was angry. And like one of the brothers said, he did something that a lot of us really want to do. You know, so in many ways, when I think about it, the anger that I had at the time trying to figure out how to deal with this and what happened to my nephew, in some ways, that was like gratifying. But yet at the same time, understanding the pain of my sister allowed the system to help keep us focused and not take an opportunity to expound upon the anger and the pain that we suffer in our community when we are beat down by the police. But Bill Mixon, and I like what Gerald said, he made a vow that he wasn't going back. I mean, for the petty stuff that he was going through, it had pissed him off right there. And the fact that they try to dehumanize him with us is the exact same thing that happened to Oscar. You know, so there's a whole lot for me to digest. Because when I flip back into time and think about where I was at that space, you know, there was some confusion because it hadn't happened to the family until January 1st. That what is the real role of the police? You know, because many of us families, when we experience it, whether it be a vigilante, a security guard, or a police officer, really many of the families have a system believe that the system works for us. So our real determination and hope is that we're going to get justice. Don't no family get justice when the state-sponsored police kill us.
Yes.
That don't happen. I travel all across this country dealing with people going through the same thing we're going through, and don't none of them get justice. You know, and so I can go on with this, but you know what? We got to talk.
Yes.
What it brought back to me was a lot of was painful. A lot because I saw the other side, the inside. I was actually with his grandmother and with his family, and I actually got the experience.
You said with LaBelle's family?
Mm-hmm. The pain, his grandmother, Miss Mary, the pain of being ostracized by the media, and the police was harassing them, coming by the house. You know, they was harassing that family on a daily basis, and. And I'm so proud of the community. The community stood up. Those people that we saw, they stood up, and they didn't let that happen because it was so bad that there was no preacher. None of these preachers wanted to touch this. So like the last day before his funeral, they didn't have anybody who would come up and do it, and then Reverend Langford did. Well, actually, the family asked Minister Keith. So when they asked Minister Keith, the Muslim, then that made the Christians rise up and say, hold up, you can't let that happen, right? So then Reverend Langford did it. But I experienced this with the family, all that pain with the grandmother, just having the whole world, not just Oakland, talking about your loved one and making him this monster. You know, I sat in that environment. You know, and I was at the service and saw the pain of that family. And so that's what this brought back. But this made me feel like the family won because their loved one is the story that you did was great to tell the story from his view because that's what they were sharing with us at the table. He was a good guy. They told us that the parole officer would make him sit all day. All day, and then come out and say, "Oh, you don't have an appointment today." After he knew he had an appointment, or just harassing him, pushing him, and pushing him. So that all brought back to me that I think this is really great work. I think he did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And it for me, it made me smile for LaBelle and his family.
So, you know, this body directed the whole out, right? You know, we always can liberate the spirit of resistance. So I need a little bit of participation with this call and response when I say, long live LaBelle Mixon!
Long live LaBelle Mixon!
That was drawn out now. Just keep going on this resistance now. Long live LaBelle Mixon!
Long live LaBelle Mixon!
And I wanted to start off like that, right? Because I want y'all to know that the spirit is still living on, you know what I'm saying? What he was doing, you know what I'm saying? Just go with that. And there was some action that went. Beyond that, after that, you know what I'm saying? This very act of resistance had inspired a lot of consolidation of the Black Bible chapter in Oakland, you know what I'm saying? It gave us an outlet to identify with a common enemy. That tactic that the brother did by putting the Associated Press on blast, it's a tactic we call confrontational politics. The It draws a line of demarcation of whether people who stay, or whether somebody stand for the people or you stand for the fascist state of the pigs. And that was a prime example of how that operates. You know what I'm saying? Because we need to know, because we do got media people who are independent who want to portray and want to tell the story of the people. Then you got the other media that's backed by, you know what I'm saying, these corporations and the elite that's going to try to portray something to demonize the people so they can have an excuse to militarize these pigs, these pig forces, and push for this mass incarceration and to meet up with the demand for prison labor. I say the spirit is still alive because last year, this day, our comrade Jihad Muhammad Mujahid, he was arrested on a weapons charge. This was just like a week after, right? This is on the day of LaVell Mixon Day, right? This is a week after he just led like a major watch pig operation, got the whole community involved, you know what I'm saying? People coming out, he telling them their rights, their Fourth Amendment, their Fifth Amendment, and things like that, right? So they bring me, they scared. Pigs spooked out their socks and boots, right? So what it is, they start putting the woman's tracking devices on the cars, you know what I mean? Start trying to observe the neighborhood, and you know, he went and took recognizance in a very militant, disciplined manner, and you know, they were spooked. They bombarded me, you know what I'm saying, with all type of military fatigue, plainclothes officers, U.S. Marshals. They wouldn't try to have another one, Bill Mason, man. And you know what I'm saying?
That was in Oakland? It was in Oakland?
That was right here. That was wrong. It's in the spot, man, in the East that's known as the Carter, right? In between Parker and Richmond. It's like the park. It's right across the street from the Yahoo House. So this is right up the street. We call this Black Arthur now because the spirit of Revell Mason is still moving through there, right? So there's been a lot of efforts, organizing efforts, and the community it brought a lot of people together. You can't walk down Parker and say Black Power people now and people look at you funny. You might get that at once in a while, but now, man, people are starting to wake up because, not just because of the Bell Mixon, you know what I'm saying, because the stuff that the pigs do turn people against them, you know what I'm saying? Some people actually believe in what they got their own pigs, like they got Christopher Dorners and stuff going on. The justice has been served for Oscar Grant through the pig, Tom Smith, you know what I'm saying? So it ain't no remorse, you know what I'm saying? We say rest in peace, oink, oink, bang, bang, and power to the people. We got those newspapers too, you know what I'm saying? We're getting these out for a donation, even a short percentage or whatever we can donate to the comrades for putting out this film. We also have some footage of interviews that we did with them. So, you know what I'm saying? To paint a picture of what happened, of the efforts of organizing people against pig terror, you know what I'm saying, in Oakland after that, you know what I'm saying? Because it didn't stop, it won't end with there, and you know what I'm saying? They were scared today. This black balloon was right out there on 7th right there. You know what I'm saying? The spirits still live on. Ain't nobody just forgot about that shit. It's rock. All pride to the people.
All pride to the people.
Oh, I see. Before we let that go, I wanted to address also what's going on with the campaign right now, police terrorism campaign right now. How many of y'all are informed that Dan Siegel is running for mayor? Y'all know who Dan Siegel is?
Yeah.
Some of y'all might know Dan Siegel, the older ones. He was somebody who worked with the black movement back in the day.
Yeah.
But since that time, in 2000, Dan Siegel was on the school board in the year 2000 along with Gene Quine. Dan Siegel was responsible for writing a policy that brought armed police into the Oakland Unified School District. Today, he tries to align himself with the Alan Bluford campaign. You know, he's been, some of y'all will wonder, well, why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Because right before Alan Bluford, the police terrorism campaign that was very big, right after Oscar Grant and the LaVell Mixon, was Raheem Brown. Yeah. Raheem Brown was killed in front of Skyline High School by a campus police officer who was armed and at work because of Dan Siegel. So when you see Dan Siegel doing supposedly anti-police work, it's really a political front for him to be mayor of Oakland. He says he left Occupy and left Gene Quine's side when she initiated the police against the people who were camping out in front of the city hall. But the reality is, you didn't say anything about Raheem's blood. You didn't quit him. And that was a policy that he helped, well, that's a policy that he brought in. He ushered it in. Gene Quine voted for it too, though. So I want us to be totally aware and not be pimped and not allow the anti-police terrorism movement to be pimped by people like Dan Siegel, who's trying to do much like how Jerry Brown did us. You know, Jerry Brown has some ranking Black Panthers behind him because he was Governor Moonbeam in the 70s, and he worked with Panthers. And, you know, he had some ranking people behind him. And then when he came in, he was one of the most conservative politicians that California's seen. You know, he's responsible for the 10K plan that moved the majority of the Black population that was living in Oakland out to Stockton, Antioch. He's the one who is responsible for upping the numbers in the police force and making it, or intensifying it, militarizing it, and making, setting the environment for an Oscar Grant and a Lavelle Mixon and all of the other unnamed peoples that we've been leaving out of this discussion that are also victims of police terrorism. You got something you want to say, bro?
First thing I want to say, I really appreciate the piece. It's something that needs to be circulating everywhere, in my opinion. Everybody
yes.
needs to see
yes.
It's also like very significant to me when this happened, when Lavelle Mixon shot those police officers. I was in a meeting with some close friends of mine. We were working on, you know, writing a piece towards the young people, young Black people in Oakland about Oscar Grant. And our agenda was to promote straight up resistance and, you know, resistance to the colonial nature of the communities that we live in, with, you know, the police as sort of the occupying army of America. And we see ourselves as people existing within an internal colony. And so, you know, we were trying to formulate something to engage young people around Oscar Grant and these politics and principles. And you know, one of the sisters was in the other room, and she came and like rushed into the room that we were meeting in, and she was like, "We got to drop everything. This dude just shot two police officers, and it's going down right now in MacArthur." And so initially we went out there to see what was going on, and it was like, you know, everything was shut down in the area, and we were seeing some stuff on the news and everything. And so we decided that we wanted to have some, like, you know, little flyer, little handout that we could distribute to make people think about what he did as more than just, he's gone, that's the end of it. And so we made a little flyer, and it's funny because I was just, you know, in my email and I saw it the other day, the flyer. And at the time we made the flyer, we put three police had been killed because the fourth one was still alive. And so we rushed out to the streets with these flyers, and we were out that night, and all the way from, you know, 73rd, you know, into the 90s, the whole MacArthur, everyone was out on their blocks pouring out alcohol and talking about, you know, how great Lavelle Mixon was for killing these police. Some people were sad that Lavelle died. You know, some people were like sad that we had lost someone who actually had a will to resist. You know, a lot of people were sad because so many of us are just killing each other because it's easy to kill Black people and get away with it. You know, and this brother had decided that, you know, he was going to kill the real enemy, and he knew he wasn't going to get away with it, and he did it anyway. He accepted those consequences. And he accepted them willingly. He shot the police, and he didn't just run away. He stood over them and made sure that they were gone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
And people, it had a major impact on people. And they had set up this little vigil for the police. And every time they would put something out, the block would come up, tear it up, spit on it, knock it over, set it on fire. They posted an armed guard for the candle vigil. Mind you, people die all the time on MacArthur, and they set up pictures, they set up candles and balloons and everything, and the city comes along and rips it up immediately. Like, no, you're not going to commemorate the life of these of these poor niggas. We don't care about them. You know what I'm saying? They're less than human. And you just, we see, you know, your commemoration of life as just garbage that needs to be tossed out. But, you know, with the police, they decided they needed an armed guard, you know? And the, and there was a cameraman who every time, like, people would come up and be, like, saying things or come towards the visual and be engaging with the police officer, because really people was trying to get past the police anyway to still rip it up. Because the police was posted up and people were still the whole night trying to get to the visual to tear it up. They just wasn't leaving it alone. And the cameraman, Ken Swang or Ken Wang, something like that, from Channel 2, he would just, every time people would come, he would direct the camera away from them. And he was always just making sure that the people from the community never got in the shot. Because the first time a black person get in the frame, they knew nobody gave a fuck about those pigs. They knew we wanted them dead. You know? And it was a really interesting moment, and so a lot of us looked at it as, you know, at the time I felt like Oakland was about to explode. I'm like, pigs gonna start getting killed left and right now. You know, they done killed Oscar Grant, thousands of people marching in the streets. And the average brother in the streets, the average parolee, is killing four police by himself. And everybody afraid of these pigs, like they're the most elite army forces. And the average parolee brother from the streets, not no army veteran or nothing like that, take down four. Four. So they're not Superman. They're human beings and they breathe and bleed too. And it was just a beautiful thing, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It was an affirmation that we are alive and we have a value of our lives. And all of us ain't a bunch of suckers. All of us ain't cowards. And some of us actually, you know, feel like we're going to affirm our existence by taking out the people who want to subjugate us.
I want to just add to what else was happening that day and how the police reinforced their position. They was riding 3 deep, basically raiding the community. You know, they was riding 3 or 4 deep in the car. I mean, I don't know where they was planning to put nobody if they're riding 4 deep. But, you know, that was an intimidation that if they was riding through the hood 4 deep, they wasn't planning to take no prisoners. So, you know, it was, that went on for a week, 2 weeks, for them to reinforce their position. Then they had that, the 20,000 cop parade, you know, to the Coliseum. And so, you know, I think it's important for us to look at both ends of that and to see how the pigs respond also. You know what I'm saying? So that when people, they know what this pig's MO is and when they get killed. Another thing that I thought was important that nobody brought up was, I think it's important to acknowledge that Oscar Grant and Lavelle Mixon and a number of other people weren't killed because they was Malcolm X. They wasn't killed because they was Martin Luther King. They was killed because they was faceless, nameless black people, just like some of the ones in here. You know, a lot of people, when they saw what happened to Oscar Grant, when they saw what happened to Lavelle Mixon, they saw themselves. You know, I've been harassed on that same block where they made me pull my pants down and put their hands all in my ass on 74th and MacArthur, 73rd and 74th and MacArthur. Put our head on the hood of the police car, undercovers, all of that. So when Lavelle got off, it's not like it was some way distant, abstract type of thing. I mean, right there on MacArthur is where they do that at. You know, everybody know that if you from Oakland, from East Oakland, you know, you're not trying to hit MacArthur, especially by 73rd, if you're not prepared to be stopped. You know, so I think that that's also very important for us to acknowledge that, you know, Oakland's police terrorism, anti-police terrorism movement that recently started up because of the Oscar Grant movement, continued with the Lavelle and Alan Buford, Raheem, and so many others, was started not because it was some celebrity head. It was started because it was faceless, nameless people being murdered. And then we addressed it. Another thing I think is important is I like the fact that, look at, we are documenting our own history. You know, it's about time that now we have films that are not just Black Panther films. We started documenting and do stuff in our era, and you know, the movement has been going on, but we haven't been good at documenting. So I definitely want to say thank you to Sam and Jacob, because Jacob Sam. Because we already saw how the Lavelle mixing pieces would have came back from Operation Small Axe, when we took what they were saying about Lavelle at that time. You see how they would have recorded it if we didn't record it ourselves. So I think that that's a lesson. I think us documenting our history is just as, or documenting our history of resistance is just as important as fighting. You know, because we have to leave a record of how we fought, so that other people can see the good and the bad in it, and hopefully use the most beneficial aspect. I seen a hand in the back.
After watching the documentary, I just Googled his name, and if you read his Wikipedia, it sounds just like the news.
Yeah,
the news is saying about him. Mm-hmm. So if you guys want to go and edit that, you should probably do that.
You know, I was going to say, they did the same thing with Oscar. When I attempt to edit, they always change it back. They always do something that's crazy and redo it. But what I wanted to add, you know, even though Johannes Messing was the first officer in the state of California to be arrested and charged, convicted, and sent to jail, we don't look at that as a victory, but it's historical. But really, a side piece of that in happening really is what Lavelle Nixon did. Because we know that people rose up, the video had a lot to do with it, but it was also the protesting. Of course, the media talked about the anarchists, you know, destroying buildings, the outsiders, you know. But they didn't really want to talk about Lavelle Nixon and what kind of tempo he created in the process of the movement. See, that was part of the movement. Of course, the ILWU, Local 10 coming in. You know, so all those aspects had a piece of why Johannes Messner was actually convicted. Even though the judge tried his best not to have him do any time. You know what I'm saying? Even saying that he made a mistake with the instructions to the jury, taking a gun and half him off the table. Because he really should have been in for 12 years.
If not life.
If not life. Right. I mean, you know, based just on the jury. Even the jury came back with a guilty verdict. You know what I'm saying? And yet the judge took that, you turn our jury trial into a bench trial, because he decided to make the decision. But, you know, but this is a piece, like you said, that is real critical about the historical aspect of what other communities don't know. See, I travel around, we deal with a whole bunch of communities, and it's nothing like the Bay Area when it comes to dealing with the police. Because many have a lot of what we had when we first was affected. What is the police for? You know, the system is going to give us justice. We mad at the police, but we trusted the system. But the system is really protected by the police.
Exactly.
So how are we going to get justice dealing with this system the way it's set up? Don't no family get justice across the United States. You know, unless there's something underneath it to make it look like they're getting justice.
Right. And I just want to reinforce that. I travel around, you know, New York with Marley Graham, Ayanna Jones up in Detroit. You know, she was killed a few months after this, actually after Lavelle, 7-year-old girl, and threw the pigs through a flash grenade in through a window, trying to basically make good TV for another 48 hours of a TV show. The flash grenade landed on her while she was asleep on the couch with her grandmother, burned her clothes up. When she jumped up because she was on fire, they kicked the door down and shot her in the head. And the police got off with justifiable homicide. His name was Weeks. He got off with justifiable homicide. But to Oakland's credit, we didn't just let it go. You know, that happened out there. You have people like Askia Sabor in Philadelphia and a number of other people whose cases don't even make it to the media or even make it to the alternative media. You know, but I'm glad to say that this community right here, we don't be taking that. And, you know, salute to everybody who contributed in one way or another, from making a flyer to hitting the streets to, you know, whatever way you contributed. Let's keep being creative and let's keep fighting back. Is there anything else before we end out?
Yeah, 40 years ago there was a beautiful, kind brother named John D. from Berkeley. And he said he wasn't going to go back to prison. So then there was this policemen that used to harass people up and down Telegraph. His nickname was Santa, or Santa Claus. And he tried to arrest John Dee for nothing one day. And John Dee killed Santa with Santa's gun.
What year was this?
About 73.
73.
John Dee. His friend of UConn.
Okay.
UConn remembers him too.
And just to bring one other aspect up into this, I want us to also look at, you know, people that are soldiers of our community, like Marshall Eddie Conway, who was recently freed, political prisoner, who was accused of killing a police officer. But there's what? There's over 30 Black Panther political prisoners, and more political prisoners than that, but it's just those, just the ones that are Black Panthers, there's like over 30. And many of them are in jail for killing cops, and there's no evidence even linking them to that. So you have to look at that as part of this war also on the people and on the architects of our movement. You know, people like Mumia, people like Albert Woodfox, the last thing in Angola 3. What's the ones in Omaha, Nebraska?
You're talking about Poindexter
and Walenga. Right. Poindexter and Walenga. Now, if you don't know who these people are, please do your homework, because they was fighting for me and you when me and you weren't fighting for ourselves. So, you know, if there's not nothing else, please support Sam's film. You know, it will be showing tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the San Francisco Main Library. So if you have people on the other side of the bridge or you want to come catch it again, it'll be showing there. It'll also be showing at the Oakland International Film Festival on April 6th. I don't know the exact time, but you can also catch it there too. But thank you all for coming. Hopefully we can exchange numbers and get to know each other better so we can strengthen our fight.